Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kame House Party. I am Aaron, and this is the universe's only improv comedy Dragon Ball watch-along podcast. And folks, you're in for another great episode because we have another wonderful guest host. They are one of the three Kais of the Moonshot Podcast Network. They're kind of my boss, so everyone be cool. Everyone know that, like, I've definitely been doing work. They are one of the hosts of the podcast Minds. There before the grace of pod go we? Go I. Okay, great. I'm getting confirmation.
Nodding.
They are the hosts of Riley Hopkins and their amazing friends. They are a tabletop game designer. Dare I say a raconteur? Maybe someone tell me if I use that word correctly.
Jack White's second band.
Folks, we're talking about Riley Hopkins. Riley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so hyped to be here. I'm very excited. Y'all have one of the best themes in podcasting, straight up.
Thank you.
It's the little diddlies that happen in the mid section where you get the random karate. It's like the like beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Apid Suicide, who is the creator of that song, friend from college, just paying dividends.
On this. Sometimes you just get it right on the first try. You never need to update it. You're just like, I got it. This will ride us out for the rest of time.
Riley, thank you for being here. And we're going to have a few questions that we like to ask all of our guests. First is, let's talk about Dragon Ball, your Dragon Ball history, as it were. When did you discover this show? What's your relationship to it now?
I think this has been said before, but I can't say when I started watching Dragon Ball because I'm just like, yeah, it's television. Like, as soon as I turned on a TV, it was Power Rangers and Dragon Ball. I don't know what else to say to that. Like, I've been recently watching on YouTube, they just have old Toonami blocks where, like, somebody went and VCR rips with the commercials. And I'm just like, oh, I think I watched this one. Like, yeah, June 15th in 2001. Yeah, dog, absolutely. But, like, I watched Namek like everyone else, but what sticks in my head is the Boo saga.
Okay.
I remember quoting it in fifth grade in a report, or whatever, like when they're talking about stories and how stories are made, I'm like, yeah, you know, this is just like when Boo becomes Super Boo becomes Kid Boo. There were my teacher going like, okay, sure. That's great, sweetie.
The classic okay from a teacher is so savage.
It hurts to think back about, but as a kid, I was like, I nailed that one. Mm-hmm. I got it. Look at that.
We didn't have to discuss this further. That's why.
But I watched all of Z, and then I didn't watch GT. And I had dropped off the face of the earth until I was in college working in a kitchen. And a guy, I promise you, I'm not making any of this up. A guy who went by the name Dragon, Jrggin, local pinball high score holder, was like, hey, they're releasing a movie called Battle of Gods. Everyone in this kitchen needs to go see it. He had the Lemmy mustache and like a backwards hat. Jesus. All the time. It was just like, everyone, come on. And that movie banged. That was great. And that started Super. And I watched all that with my wife because she likes funny shit and Super's funny again. And like, it's, I love Super so much. And then I watched Broly right after that. I'm mixed on Broly, but the Dragon Ball superhero is a blessing to me as a Gohan fan.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, superhero whipped ass. See our episode on that, viewer. Glad to know you're a Gohan fan, because this is very Gohan heavy. Yes. Something I didn't think was going to happen to Gohan in this episode happened.
it was very cool. And it's like, I have notes on my boy. And after finishing this episode, I did go like, do you mind if we jump to the very end? And I see the father-son Kamehameha. And like, I show you that. And showing that to somebody with completely no context whatsoever, except for this Cell is Complete episode. I was like, yeah, he had games and let everyone train for a year. And like, my wife's sitting there like, what? Why did he do that? Is he stupid?
They're just, no one's very bright in this show.
It's about fighting, okay?
They have different kind of intelligence.
The intelligence is just how hard can punch. Can punch harder? We'll wait for that. Wait for everyone to be swinging at their most.
I will end with this final question before we get into some Kame housekeeping. So you're the reason we're on the Moonshot Podcast Network, right? No one else wanted us but you.
That's not true. What happened was I heard Anime Sickos and they had two very funny guests on, and I started listening to their show, which is you. And then I was like, I need to work with these two. I need to work with them so bad. And so like I think we had officially closed pitches, and I was like, hi, you know what I think would be a high value show to bring onto the network? Not the way we talk about things, by the way. Not an actual way that we hold conversations.
There's no boardroom, you're saying?
We all sit down and we are in a big shadowy cabal, lights behind our heads to cast us in shadow. Mm-hmm. And Mar and Andrew and I pass around podcast art on big vinyl record covers. And we hold them up and go, no, no. And I said, wait, what about this one? Look at its yellow text. Look at the bright colors. Listen to the theme. And you're like, all right, you like Dragon Ball, sure. It's really, truly, I just wanted to work with y'all, and I don't know how to like message somebody outside of like, what if we became collaborators? Like, I truly, like, my brain's broken.
I also have the, just from years of freelance, I have the bad brain where it's just like, hey, I think this person's cool. Should I be friends with them? No, I should create a whole project. Mm-hmm. To center around. If I don't create a whole
project, then I have to come up with some reason to keep talking, and that's hard. So what if instead, on every couple months, I message them?
We love being a part of Moonshot. Thank you so much.
It's a fucking blessing to have you here.
Thank you. Enough of this. This place is filthy. By God, we have to do Kame housekeeping.
There's shit on the walls. There's dishes left out. It's awful in here.
So, and Kame housekeeping is what we do to get you, the listener, ready for the podcast ahead. And the first part of Kame housekeeping is the world famous UN sanctioned 1 minute roundup typing sound.
All right. Okay. Whew, finally done. All right. I've finished these reports. I can go home. My day's over. Just as long as the boss doesn't see me.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, you got a second, pal?
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's Friday. Mm-hmm. It's 5:30. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's up? What do you got?
Appreciate
the
hustle. Look, we're gonna, I have a very secret project that just came across my desk, and
just now. You're the,
mm-hmm, just now, just hot here. If you can feel the paper, it's quite warm from the copier.
That's not, ooh, that is really hot. Yeah. Wow. Okay. What do you,
it is singed at the end, isn't it? That's
have we checked on our printer recently?
That's kind of what I want to go to you. And scene. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning of the 1 minute roundup, where we do an improv scene to loosen or tighten our improv muscles. I'd say we're in the very loose category.
We're shaking it out. It's fine.
But that gets us ready for the 1 minute roundup proper, which is where one of us, this time Riley, has to summarize everything that we have covered in Dragon Ball thus far. I'm talking about 150-something episodes of the original Dragon Ball. I'm talking, look at my notes, 159 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. This is a massive amount of information that has to be compressed into 60 seconds for you, the listener.
A bite-sized bit. Mm-hmm. This is my second time doing a roundup. I sent in for a cowboy style, and I'm a long time ago, back in Namek, I believe.
I still think about that roundup every so often. just disappointed with the fans, really.
Everyone needs to step it up.
It's like the production, the leveling on this, the EQ.
Put it in Reaper and just go re-level. Up, down, perfect. Got it. Nailed it.
But Riley is here to reclaim the Roundup crown and or belt. But I have to ask you, are you ready to round up?
Absolutely. Set that timer going.
All right. Here we go in 3, 2, 1.
Dragon Ball. It's a show about a young boy named Goku who meets a girl named Bulma, and they go on adventures together to find the titular Dragon Balls, magic orbs that when collected can grant any wish. Goku learns to fight and use ki to fire beams from his hands and meets a series of enemies, friends, and enemies to friends, in order, Bulma, Roshi, Oolong, Yamcha, Puar, Pilaf, Jackie Chun, Chi-Chi, Oxkin, Krillin, Launch, Tien, Chiaotzu, Yajirobe, Korin, General Blue, Aider, Kami, Baba, King Piccolo, Piccolo Jr. Dragon Ball Z is a show about that very same boy growing up, getting older, and learning that he's not a human, but a species of alien called Saiyans. New people show up in order, Gohan, Raditz, King Yanma, King Kai, Bubbles, Gregory, Nappa, Vegeta, Lord Slug, Dodoria, Zarbon, Guldo, Raccoon, Jice, Birder, Ginyu, Dende, Nail, Grand Elder Guru, Trunks, Cooler, Turtles, Dr. Gero, 16, 17, 18, and finally Cell. People die. People win championships. Worlds are destroyed. All of this and more in another exciting episode of Dragon Ball Z.
Whoa, with seconds to spare. My goodness. How dare you come on this show with a calm cadence that stressed me out at first.
You can, yeah. Dragon Ball, that's 5 seconds gone.
Like, what are you doing?
I sat down with two of my friends, Chris and Jeff, and I was like, can we list every important person that Goku meets in his life in order? And then I also was like, and what are silly people to add in there? Do we need to count Aider? No.
But they had such a good friend. They went up a whole tower.
He's a Frankenstein boy.
Riley, thank you so much for that roundup. Look, I've thrown the gauntlet. If you feel like you can do a better roundup than Riley, if you think you can do a worse roundup than Riley, send any
roundup at all.
Yeah. Just round us up, baby. Send that in, kamehousepartypod@gmail.com. But thank you again. And we can now go to the next part of Kame Housekeeping, which is us letting you know that we watch two different versions of the podcast. I watch the original Japanese with English subtitles. Riley has watched the English sub version. And we do this. Because it is fun to compare and contrast the differences. The first difference usually being the title. So Riley, will you please give me the title for your episode?
And I'm going to try to do Vince proud here, okay, where it is episode 160 of Dragon Ball Z. Cell is complete.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. This is true.
To the point. He's complete. It happens.
I like an alliteration. Mine, hold on, the word cells in it.
Is that the only similarity?
That is the only similarity.
Oh, not even an is?
No is.
Oh, shit.
There's some other articles. So, my episode of Dragon Ball Z for episode 160 from the original Japanese, roughly translated, is Battle Power Infinity! Birth of the god of destruction named Cell.
Hi,
Hey, point of order really quickly. I don't think Cell is actually a god of destruction. I don't think that counts. I think I know that man, and his name is Beerus.
Mm-hmm. Beerus wakes, opens a single eye. He's like, yeah, I'll wait.
This isn't important enough for me.
I forget that Beerus hasn't been around the entire time because he feels like one of those characters that you're just like, yeah, it's Beerus. He's around. Yeah. He's been there for Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Fall, of course. He's like Obi's with Roshi.
I'd love a re-edit where he's just in the background of certain scenes.
I think if you were to do like Dragon Ball Z Kai 2, where you added super elements to backfill, I think you just have like the destruction of the planet Vegeta, and in the background you'd get like that purple cat looking motherfucker just turning away. You know what I mean? But do you think, what if Cell was the god of destruction? Like Cell with God Ki, intimidating to me, exciting to me.
He's so dumb, which isn't a fault. That's
true
for a god of destruction. You ain't got to be smart.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All Beerus just follows his stomach around. It's fine. He's not in this episode. I'm already off the fucking listener. You'll find out what I mean in maybe 200, 300 episodes.
if we'll see. That's a big conversation.
Right, you don't know if you're going to GT next or not.
Yeah, that's what we mean. But let's get on with it. Let's get into the episode proper. Cell is mid-transformation. It is dark. The sequel to Twister is happening around this island.
They truly just used to flash lights in your face as a child. Like,
the biggest photosensitivity warning on this episode.
It's just, I was watching it in a dark room and we had to turn on the lights because the entire time Cell's powering up, it's like dim, and then bah, 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 like cut all the way up.
Just even on the close up of everyone's faces reacting. It's just bah, bah, yeah, flashing lights.
Got that bah, flicker. Bah, bah, bah. I haven't seen 16 in a long time. And like seeing him grunting quietly at the camera four different times this episode. It made me realize I don't know what happens to him.
Later on or previous to this?
But ahead of this, I don't know. Because like I see 17 and 18 again. But like 16, I never hear from.
Oh, yeah.
16 and Launch are hanging out somewhere on a beach.
They blow up? But he blows up.
Why don't they fix that?
Huh.
Go on. He was your boy.
Thanks for sacrificing yourself, 16.
It's okay. You'll bring me back one day, right?
No, I think I have to study now. My mom's calling. Bye.
But it's like every year. Oh, okay. Do I go to heaven?
Hey, it's me, Piccolo. I guess I'm the Kai in standing.
Yeah.
I think you just rot here.
Rot.
Forever.
I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Can I like talk to King Yemma? Can I get through?
Oh, he's so busy.
I could wait in line.
Also, you don't have any more of your body. You're just a head.
So. Okay, but that hasn't stopped anybody. Even if you send me to hell, like that's something.
I don't want to see a nice guy like you.
So I'm Mortal Coil. I'm just a spirit now.
We'll see. Look, I'm Chi-Chi's calling. She wants me to study. I have to go.
You just wait. What are you studying?
I'm AC repair. I'm getting a certificate.
Smash cut to fucking Goku and Chi-Chi doing the fucking I'll call tomorrow.
See. You'll call today, Goku.
I'll call today. Cut to 5 minutes of Goku looking at a phone going, nope, not that one. Just cracking him every time he touches one.
See, he's just hoping Siri gets invented soon.
calling Bulma. I got a great idea for a product.
Karate proof phones. We see everyone's reaction. Vegeta loves it. He's a freak. To himself, he's saying, "Don't disappoint me this time."
I think in mind, he just kind of sits up there and does that. Yes, yes.
Oh, like, the sicko against the window.
Yes. Vegeta pressed up, nose flat against the window. Just so excited. Just get big and strong for me now. Of course.
Like he's at Krispy Kreme watching the donuts get made.
Watching him move along the fucking trail.
Now the glaze.
He's on that fucking living off the land Disney World ride, slowly moving around. And it's just, and here's where the androids are processed into cell.
Ooh,
that's incredible. Papa, do you see that?
A line that is so funny to me in mine is we go to Krillin's reaction, who of course is wrought with guilt. Mm-hmm. But he does say, "I'm to blame for all this."
He's so like caught up in it, so emotionally distraught, but not in the way that's like, "I should do anything to fix this." Just in the way of like,
"Really stepped in and out, didn't you, buddy?"
We just had to. Well,
it's so weird that him and Android 18 do end up together, because like it is just an insane dynamic that they have right now.
At the current point in time when she's disembodied and within the cells of a green organism and he's just wrecked with guilt. Yeah, that's a weird dynamic.
It's not something you fix.
That's a therapy thing, I think.
The couple notes: A, wow, is cell absorbing the androids upsetting? That's just straight up like, wow, that is, it's bad. It's putting your mouth around a whole potato. It does not look good. And my second thing is, at the second time Android 16 comes up on screen, they say his name here. My wife, who's sitting next to me, said, "Android 16, I have not heard of you. That is not a good sign."
He takes a break. He's
sabbatical.
He takes a little time off from now until forever.
He's going to come back in Daima, and it's going to be incredible.
Baby 16.
Baby 16 and baby six. Launch on a tricycle and a little sidecar.
She's robbing the cookie jar.
Trunks has like a line coming up that is like, I genuinely kind of hard. First, he yells no in like, because he flashes back to the future, right? Where it's like all the bodies and whatever, where he's just like, ah, like it's happening again. But he yells out a no that is like the longest sustained note I've ever heard. Like he's like starts talking again over it, but in the background, he's doing like a no.
Just watch for the listening audience.
It's so long. And he just like starts doing his speech again about like, I won't let this happen. Not again.
As mine does tend to be less VO, less inner monologue. They're like, they get it. There's a bunch of dead bodies on the ground. I think we understand he doesn't like this.
He's nonplussed.
Why is Trunks so upset? Why is Trunks so upset about these bodies? Oh, we better make sure they know. He doesn't like this at all.
You gotta play to the cheap sheets. You gotta play to the cheap seats, you know? Because if you don't, what are you doing? Someone might get confused.
You're right. This is the equivalent of projecting in theater.
It's enunciating. It's important. But it leads to the line, as long as there's breath in my body, I will fight, Cell. Which is cool. It's just one of those things. Ooh. I'm like, Trunks, you're very cool to me. You're dear to my heart.
He does go Super Saiyan, tries to, again, a thing no one has ever done in anime, stop a transformation sequence.
Yep. I applaud him for trying, genuinely.
It's too much. It's too much energy.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Pushes his ass right back. He has that awful haircut right now. Truly hard. I never in my Thank life did agreeing. I think a bowl cut would work better, but like he made it work then.
He does flash back to his bowl cut. Maybe that's what he's actually mourning.
He's like, no, I missed my shot at the barber.
He books 3 months in advance. I can't.
I keep asking my mom to get me in, and she can't because she gets killed by Cell.
Even with all the people dead, he's still so busy. He's the only barber.
You know, Cell actually gets his hair cut by him, which is, I think, the reason that he's still up and running. He's got to keep that thing shaved regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Or else he grows like Ki-Adi Mundi hair on the top.
He's in two every 2 weeks.
That's why I can't get in.
This is real talk about the stresses of going to a barber. I appreciate it.
It's hard out there, man. There are three places I'm uncomfortable in this world, and it's the dentist, the barber, and like church, and in that order.
It's just like, I don't want to talk, man. Can we?
How do you want your haircut today? Good.
You, the expert, you tell me.
Yeah, I'm here for your expertise. Like, well, how long do you want it on top? Man, I don't know, dog.
Go back to whoever did it this last round. I will say that.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's at a proper barber shop. So you do just walk in and it's like just a bunch of dudes chatting. There is Grateful Dead on a TV.
All right. I trust that. I trust that completely, actually.
$27. It's called like the barbershop of town name, and it's in a different town name. Like, it's in a different Chicago suburb.
These are all good signs to me, exactly. I feel like. I trust this place. But I don't trust Oolong as we go to the Kame house, which is suffering from a flood.
Mm-hmm.
Roshi's trying to hold the door back. Chi-Chi's floating on a dresser. And they're all discussing, like, we have to get out of here. Because we might drown in Oolong. We haven't seen a pervy thing in a while in Dragon Ball.
They need to make sure you know that it's still there. Sex still exists in this world.
Oolong just kind of swimming in Chi-Chi's luggage.
In mine, he hits the line, at least we'll have clean clothes.
No!
That's it? That's all you got, buddy?
That's funny. That's, as a one-liner, I feel like that's funnier. Mine might be funnier from a technical standpoint.
Oh, a thinking man's Dragon Ball joke. A thinking man's perv joke.
Let's see if I've written it down. He's like, yeah, we need to run away from Cell because something terrific might happen. And that's the switch when he's like, realizes where he is. And then he gets bonked on the head.
Go. Oolong, you crazy diamond, you. I love in this scene, Tien and Chiaotzu have like a siphon situation at the window. Like, Tien is like, has the tube, and Chiaotzu's just like pumping the little thing.
Reverse it. I believe it was Yamcha pumping and Chiaotzu chilling. But I think it did the Looney Tunes, like, big bulge of water. Mm-hmm. Going. It's like, what to get a bucket?
How is this useful? What are you fucking doing here? Just like, it's a good background gag of just like, I don't know, man, it's a tidal wave. They're emptying it out. Yeah. They had the siphon around. Why is Roshi got a siphon just on deck, ready to party?
I use this for gas.
I haven't filled up in years.
Whenever Bulma stops by, I just steal that fuel.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just sitting there like, all right, I'm going to go out to the grocery store again. Let me just hop in my... Oh, it's empty again. Poor, did you not fill up the tank?
I did last night.
Yeah, it's empty. It's not. You clearly didn't. Let's go. Roshi's, I got the spare gas in the back and the little casket. It's this is empty, too.
Roshi's in the corner, wringing his hands.
I need a mint.
What is he even using on? Is he drinking it?
I'm a prepper, obviously. Out here in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I live off the grid. They're putting chemicals in the water that'll make the frogs sell.
We wouldn't have a problem with cell if they taught prayer in school.
I've been watching a lot of Red Ribbon Army videos. These guys may have had some points.
Look, before he blesses Thanksgiving dinner, all I'm saying.
Roshi, I hate to say it, is right wing. I think it's true. I think Bulma's trying to radicalize him, but I think it's happening that he's radicalizing Yamcha.
Look, we have a button. We have a very special button. He's 800. I think he's 500 years old, 600 years old. That's he's
as dirt.
At this, and dirt is Republican. Look, we have this button. I'm going to slide it in. Mm-hmm. And I think I have the power to use this. It's going to happen. Roshi is, in fact, a hardcore conservative. And that is canon. Not Nick Cannon.
It's true.
Just age alone. And also his actions.
Age and actions and personality and overall demeanor.
The whole thing. He's Tommy Bahama up. He
owns private island.
That's true. He's on a list.
Independently wealthy.
He's on someone's list. Someone's flight list, of course.
I think he stays off online, so it's fine. However, I think Yamcha is like one of those people that like constantly self-owns on Twitter, where they say something that they say something that's like, I haven't talked to a woman in 8 years. And you're like, hey, hi, buddy. What?
Go.
Nothing. Just hanging out playing baseball, baby. That's all I need in this world.
Immediately on private. The account. Yeah.
Do you see this guy? I got 8 quote retweets on my latest tweet. This is fantastic.
Half of them just say bruh, but.
I am their bruh. Yamcha pays for Twitter Blue and done.
And see. We go back to Cell. We just got to check up on him. I realized this was one of the, at this point, I think I realized this was one of those episodes where it's like, oh, it's where someone in the back is doing the stretching out. Mm-hmm.
We need to keep cooking. I did notice Krillin is looking fit and trim. Krillin's looking good in this episode. He's like maybe a foot taller than he is in Super. He's like muscled up. He doesn't look like a runt. I'm like happy for him. He's like, oh, you're stylish, buddy.
Oh, yeah. This is the best shape he's ever been in or never will be in.
Will be.
In 3D, he is a spaghetti man.
He has nothing. They shrink him back down to baby size and like take every bit of definition out of him. Krillin was my favorite growing up, which I think paints a very, very self-owned picture of me. So, but he has Destructo Disc, you see. It's cool. And everyone's like, yes, Riley, of course.
He helps his friend. He loves his friends. He
loves his friends so much. He's there. He's like he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. He's the star of this.
But yeah, he's just standing there going like, I really screwed the pooch.
ah, beans, ah, nuts,
and just flashing lights in his face. 16 Trunks, Vegeta smiling, and then cut back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Rinse, lather, repeat forever.
I think well, we go back to the island really quickly, mm-hmm. where Chi-Chi is immediately doing laundry.
I thought this was a funny shot because like the tsunami stops and he's like hanging up everyone's clothes and she's got like Goku's clothes for like if he was to come back, like hanging up. And I'm like, I like that a lot. I like that. Like, I'm always prepared because he's going to show up in any given moment and mm-hmm. he's going to fuck up his clothes and I will just have it ready.
I know what he does to an outfit.
He'll always like explode. The sleeve will come off. It happens.
This scene was very much just Roshi being a harbinger. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it's fucked now.
Yep. I'm afraid not, Yamcha. The worst is yet to come.
Ooh.
Staring out at the ocean.
Because these damn millennials.
The Zoomers. They're saying they have the woke mob, Yamcha.
Why would anyone be a mob?
Hit the Mob Psycho 100 music.
we go to the tower, mm-hmm. and we haven't seen Piccolo or Tien or Bulma in a while. Piccolo is relaying all the information, and he's like, "Yeah, Krillin fucked up. He stopped the device."
But was so pissed at this. Just why the fuck did he do that? What do you mean?
This is the opposite.
Because like that's the right reaction. That is that level of upset is correct. Because Krillin does fuck this whole thing up, and it's weird to me that they waited this long to tell her. Because like to me, I would be if I'm Piccolo and I'm like using whatever the fuck I'm using to watch or see. The first thing I'd do is go, oh, shit. Like, as soon as he stepped on it, I'd say it out loud.
You got another one of those?
What do you mean another one? No, I gave him one. It's fine. It works.
You know what? Let's see how this plays out.
Did he drop it?
Maybe.
Depends. It has like a Find My iPhone. If he uses on the Dragon Radar, you click the side and it will beep. It'll beep remotely and you can hear it.
I'll see if I can relay that message to him. fake mind dialing.
Skype music going off. Kami going, I could actually do this. This is a real thing.
Quiet in there. go back to playing Xbox.
Okay. I have to school these children in Fortnite.
You don't listen to the same podcast Roshi does, do you? Just for reference.
Nope. I'm one of the good ones. Great. Elderly, that is.
I do appreciate this from Piccolo because he also understands that my interpretation, again, as a fan of Krillin, Piccolo says, miserable Vegeta, take responsibility. Because it's mainly Vegeta's fault.
They would have been fine if Vegeta didn't try to continue to move it up. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't like, I need a bigger, badder villain who isn't Goku to fight.
I'm unfulfilled. Maybe this will finally satiate me.
I guess for what it's worth, who among us hasn't been failing at one particular thing for a very long time and going, maybe something else will fulfill me, and then instead fucking up something different instead of continuing to pursue your goal?
Just you, Vegeta, please talk to someone. That's what's missing here.
Men would rather let somebody get absorbed by a big bug instead of going to therapy. And you know the Vegeta therapy room is awful because Bulma does make him go sit down for maybe once a week and it's just dead quiet in there. It's like, all right, so have you been having any dreams or anything lately?
Dreams of fighting and killing Kakarot.
Okay, all right.
And being the best and strongest boy.
Okay, and how do you feel about those things?
I feel like they should happen for me.
not like an expectation, but like your emotions.
Who? They sound strong.
Emotions are strong, Vegeta. Yeah, it's. I'd say the strongest one. What do you think the strongest emotion is, actually, Vegeta? Have you seen Inside Out?
I love Inside Out. I bawled.
You bawled. Okay. Which one of those guys do you think would be the strongest one in a fight?
Well, clearly the angry one, because he can turn Super Saiyan.
I see that, but maybe
Lone Louis Black, too.
Maybe Sadness has some strength.
No. Weak.
Love?
Look at him. Patooey.
You keep spitting on the ground in that safe spot.
Provide a spittoon. This is Capsule Corp. I know she can afford it.
Requisition spittoon.
You have my notes next to purchasing forms.
You break so much when you're in here.
That's true. I do need another couch, by the way, while you look down.
Oh, yep. No, it did. It split right in the middle like a big V.
For Vegeta.
V for Vegeta, you're absolute. Another couch, reinforce center. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else you need?
Are you doing a lunch order or?
Yeah. I'm going to Jimmy John's after this. Do you know, okay. I get a number 9.
Ooh, I like the veto, but like I need 20 of them.
So number 9 is the Italian nightclub. The veto meat, that's just like the capicola. That's just the capicola. You're just getting a capicola sandwich?
Yeah, that's fine. That's me. Look. Maybe we can work on this next session, but okay. I do like that it starts with a V again.
That's true. What about vegetable?
Who, me? And seed.
Perking up every time he's at a produce aisle. Ooh. I love how they lightly missed it.
Wish someone lightly missed me. I'm the Prince of All Saiyans. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Greg.
The fucking PA for Vegeta. He just followed him around. Psst, psst.
Look, add Beerus and Greg, the PA, into
every scene.
Look, before we get to a commercial, we do see Cell. Finally, so perfect. So many butt and crotch shots.
Yep. My note just says Cell is so fucking cool.
He's sleek.
He's awesome. I think he's voiced by the guy who voices Handsome Jack in Borderlands 2.
And oh, like, interesting.
Those two things in my head are like, these are villains of all time. Let's go.
They definitely change his voice. I just know it as the Plankton voice.
Yeah, you're right.
Kind of it.
No, it's absolutely. It isn't even kind of. It's absolutely. You're just right. I'm trying to steal the secret formula from Dr. Giroux.
And we've got to steal this commercial break.
Single light comes on in an open stage, TED Talk style, comes up on the screen. Just, hello, I'm Shadow the Hedgehog, and I'm here to tell you about a podcast called Riley Hopkins and Their Amazing Friends. In it, me, Shadow the Hedgehog, and played by Riley Hopkins, me. And we are on the Infinity Train, where our problems are turned into numbers and we have to work them down. Joining me are Shigeo Kageyama from Mob Psycho, Trish Una from JoJo Part 5, Alphonse Elric from Fullmetal Alchemist, and Audrey Jensen from the MTV-only Scream series, the first two seasons. It's a joy to listen to, an actual play podcast, about 20 episodes long. You can listen to it right now. We just left the third arc, named after the Prodigy song, Invaders Must Die. That's it. That's all I have. It's a banger. It rules. Listen to it at moonshotpods.com/RHATAF or Riley Hopkins and their amazing friends. That's it. You can turn off the lights now.
So we're watching a student film about time before we get into Goku and Gohan training in the hyperbolic time chamber. It's this back half. It's the Gohan show. Mm-hmm.
It's a very rare Gohan bad boy arc.
He does.
He's grown out his hair. He's a little bit gumpy. He says he's like training with Goku, and he says a line that I was like, I don't remember this. This is crazy. Where he goes like, I think Piccolo was right about you, Dad. You're too gentle with me.
Yeah, he's like, I had the one quote. This goes on for a while, but like the one quote I wrote down was, I've always been spoiled by your gentleness, Father. I'm like, Gohan, that sounds fucking delightful. I would kill for any of that.
It's crazy because he's like, because Goku doesn't respond to this. This goes on for like 5 minutes of Gohan going, hit me, Dad, hit me, hit me. You won't. You fuck, it's Hot Rod in there.
He's like, if I die, then I wasn't strong enough is mm-hmm. like what he gets to at the end. It's like, you gotta try and kill me.
That's on me. Piccolo would have killed me.
I'll sign the release now, Dad. You won't be liable.
And he's just like dodging, just thinking like, son, oh, damn, wow. That's a lot that you're unloading on me. Not saying it.
I think we do miss that Goku, upon receiving this information, there's a lot he's learning and he's got to come to terms with.
He's like, I know we're not getting into like deep character stuff here, but it is genuinely fascinating to like see Gohan at this moment where he's like the angriest he's ever been. The like most like, I need to be stronger or else people will die. And then like to look at him, he came from this like anger and then rose out of that to be like, I'm a scholar. Fuck that. I don't ever want to be that mad again. And it's like, there's no joke here. I just genuinely like that arc. It's good to be like, I was this angry once, never again. Even if I got what I wanted out of that, was it worth it?
Yeah, No, you're right. It was a conscious choice of like, I don't, this ain't me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's got like the long ass hair and he goes Super Saiyan for like a second in this fight. And you don't get like the full yellow hair standing up, but it's kind of cool to be like, do you think they looked at that and they were like, I can reuse long hair, I think. I think we could roll that one back.
I don't know. Goku threatens him with a haircut. So
I'm going to lose you under there is what he says in mine.
Oh, wow.
It's like the first like he like hits him with the beam. Goku, like Gohan goes Super Saiyan and he's like, you need to calm down, son. It's not, you can't be this mad all the fucking time. And like he does calm down and breathe. And then Goku has like this moment of like, it's like the softest I've ever seen their relationship of just like the, oh, I got to give you a haircut. I'm going to lose you under there if I don't. And it's like, you can see Broly in Gohan for like a moment, like mm-hmm. in like the way his hair looks in this. And it's like tied back at the base. And like, it's such an interesting line to draw of like, who's a motherfucker who lost himself to being angry all the time? Like, that's Broly, who's like, could be the most powerful. Gohan at this moment, like if he follows that path, does he end up more like Broly? Just cool. Just I was thinking about it while watching the episode.
No, yeah, that's there are definitely parallels to see from that. The end of that goes a little bit different in mine because it's not Goku telling Gohan to like calm down to like stop being Super Saiyan. It's like, all right, now control it. You got to learn how to live in this.
Figure it out. You have to be this mad all the time. This is healthy.
Scream constantly. That's how you'll defeat Cell.
There's like Gohan has like an internal monologue of just like every time I've tried to fight, it's been I've gotten my shit rocked and I've just stood there like a baby. And it's like, imagine it's like I like to imagine it's like a Father's Day card he's written for Goku. I'm just like the dad, you're strong. I suck awful. I gotta get stronger. You gotta hit me, dad. You gotta hit me as hard as you can or else I won't make it.
This is a legally binding document. You have to
sign right here.
Notarize. I pre-notarize, which is kind of illegal, but it's okay.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. 10 days of notary.
It's only applicable on Namek, but look, it's okay.
It's fine. I'll use the Dragon Balls to change the law. Namekian laws are now real here on Earth.
Shenron, grant me zoning rights. Thank God in the Dragon Ball world, there's no... The only industrialist we have is Bulma, and she just wants to be hot.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, Godspeed. I appreciate vanity being the main source of where the Dragon Balls go.
Could be so much worse. You can live in that space as long as you want.
Because she'll live forever. She'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Just nothing but dubs for Bulma. And And I guess the thing is, she's collecting them the whole time, too, right? So it's even if somebody gets them, even if it's like Lex Luthor sitting there going like, I'm going to collect them all and do this big real estate plan. It's like, wait, where did they go? Shit.
They were on our radar and suddenly gone. Is it in Super that they're like, she's like, yeah, I have a whole, there's a force.
Yep. She's got an operation. It is. She's like, I have an operation every year. They go out, they collect them all. They bring them back to me. I have them. I wish for a motorcycle. I wish for Botox. And I wish to be 2 years younger. Not enough that anybody notices, but enough that I will never age.
Look, I know the kids are talking about Gyats, and mine's got to get lifted up. Let's go, Shenron.
I'm actually now imagining the Bulma. Like, wait, no, we know. Never mind. Fuck. I was like, I was going to connect to the Kate Middleton missing. And I realized
it's like, no, we know the real reason and it's horrible.
Yeah, we know the real reason now. I can't joke about it anymore.
I would love a show where we just follow that boss squad that Bulma has hired. You're an elite member.
It's the Wrecking Crew or whatever, right? It's the Gotham Police Department, like ground level, roll it all the way back. Mm-hmm. Yamcha runs the pit crew. Like he's like, to be the biggest one in the room. It's like, here's this washed up guy.
That'd be like that fucking baseball players or boss. What's it? What is this? What does he know about Dragon Balls?
I heard they used to date. He just got this guy a job out of nepotism.
Some say pity. Yeah, you have a guest come in every once in a while, some old villains show up. Mm-hmm. End of season one, Ader joins the team.
It'd be hype. Like as we're painting this, this is like it'd be so cool because you bring it back down to street level. You can have like today we gotta go out and like I think the Great Saiyaman is at where we're at. you get to like paint with like the how does the public perceive all this? You get to have Hercule show up and then like I'm just doing a ride along with the boys today.
Yeah, he's preparing for a role.
All right, you guys are out there getting the Dragon Balls. I've collected the Dragon Balls before in my life. I did it yesterday, but I wanted to see how you did it. Radar? What?
Huh?
What's a radar?
You don't just beat people up. / have your manager beat people up.
Boo, write that down.
Okay.
That's a piece of bubblegum that he's writing.
Don't question him.
Smartest man in the room. This is the more you're telling. Look, I might have an actual play podcast that we need to discuss later.
For those that haven't listened to Riley Hopkins and their amazing friends, we did a season called Dragon Ball Uber, where it's just me, Chris Hutton, and Jeff Starmer sitting around and going, what would be cool as a sequel series to Super that follows Oob as its main character? Got a Tien art. What if Tien got a power up and worked with Hit? What's Pan go Super Saiyan for the first time look like? We plotted out a Goku divorce arc. Vegeta represents him in Lias' legal counsel.
I bet, again, another one on the list. I gotta put on. Let's.
But I think the rest of my notes are just like, yeah, they yell at each other more, dog. They kinda, throw more lights in my face.
Again, for those, if you missed it amongst the tomfoolery, Gohan went Super Saiyan. This is the first time he went Super Saiyan. This is when it happened.
Just yelling at dad. We like flash back to, you know, Perfect Cell flexing, moving his hands. Krillin rushes him, punches. You get the like Guitar Hero wrong note sound. And you're like, okay, well,
Ooh.
That's not good. Star power drop. I punched my leg. Star power drop. Just like utter failure. He throws a destructo disc and Cell like shakes it off, which is like deeply upsetting to me because I'm like, the destructo disc rules and is supposed to cut through anything. I'm just like, man.
I think, yeah, in mine, Krillin's like, that's the same destructo disc that cut Frieza. Granted, it wasn't mine. It was someone else. It was his own. In theory, it's the same thing. It should work.
He learned from watching me. It was a Cats in the Cradle situation.
Do I want a son or daughter? Is this what I'm discovering?
Oh my God. Do I have parental instincts? Huh? I should get a sit down job.
What if I completely sold out?
What if I, and stop, listen to me here. I have a couple ideas. What if I became a cop, grew out my hair, and married the android I didn't destroy? Do we all think this is a good idea?
My 5-year plan.
Anyway, I hope nobody kicks me so hard that I go...
skip shittily across the floor.
He's still breathing, folks.
But it's never good when your eyes are the same color as like the rest of your body. Like when it's just like, boom, that's anime for dead.
Your pupils should never be slits.
I think that's not how it's supposed to be.
I think that's bad.
Get a fucking doctor on this scene. And Trunks does the same thing. Also breaks bad. And Vegeta's like, obviously, this is going to work out well for me.
In mine, Trunks gives like a Krillin scream, which was new.
Are you saying he goes, Krillin? Or he goes, ah!
I like the latter better, but he just does just go, Krillin!
No one is more yelled after than Krillin in Dragon Ball.
Everyone's got it in the pocket.
Everyone's like, if he dies, they practice it. I have to rent out the hyperbolic time chamber for an hour. Don't worry about it.
He's got it.
Just Krillin. Krillin. Krillin, no.
Sorry I'm late. I scheduled brunch. Back to back with this, but I'm ready to go. Krillin.
No, I think you have to dial it up a little bit. Can you give me more despair?
I just, when I think about Krillin, I just think of, you know, how weak he is.
What if, here, thought exercise. The therapist in Capsule Corp taught me this.
Okay, great.
So, you know, you think of Krillin and you think of disappointment, right? What if you connect the word Krillin with something different? What's something that brings you joy?
Gohan, of course.
Okay.
Beating up Gohan.
Okay. Is that in order?
One might be above the other.
Okay. I'm not going to dig into that too much because I'm not licensed. But look at one of those And then imagine that item, that thing, as Krillin.
Oh, like I'm beating up Krillin. Okay. Krillin!
It works. That's why that Capsule Corp therapist is the best in the game.
Mm-hmm. Is she doing a lunch order? What's going on? I know I just came from brunch, but...
Yeah, I'm getting nothing but cucumbers on a sandwich. Cucumbers, oil and vinegar extra. I want that bread soggy.
You just kind of want the experience of an Italian restaurant, bread and oil for the table.
It reminds me of home. They blew up an Olive Garden once. The androids.
It's supposed to be endless. Bottomless.
It's a geyser of breadsticks there now. It just shoots up out of the ground, and I just go out there and go, ha, and they look up like a turkey, and I just slide right in.
We gotta end on a geyser of breadsticks.
Why would it? That's what they always say. That's one of those lessons that you have to take forward in life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Riley, what a cheeks hurting from smiling. What a delight it has been to have you on the podcast.
It has been a blast. KHP is one of my favorite shows. I have a weekly rotation of like there's like the shows I listen to when they come out, and KHP mm-hmm. is one of those. It is a drop everything, crack that bad boy open and get into it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I know Vince appreciates it. Anything that you would like to plug, anything you want to talk about? Well, the floor is yours.
As you heard from my dear friend Shadow earlier, I am on a podcast called Riley Hopkins and Their Amazing Friends. It's an actual play podcast, Infinity Train. I'm not going to get all the way back into it again, but I'll tell you, I love this. See, I think it's a banger. I think we really got to knock it out of the goddamn park, and I think you should listen to that. The Riley Hopkins and Their Amazing Friend feed also has Dragon Ball Uber, which I did also mention earlier. But Podcast Minds there before the grace of Pod Go We. You know how this is an improv show? There's also this kind of idea of what if two guys stood on stage and just kind of riffed at each other aimlessly about their week and then stepped off stage. We're like that Odd Taxi duo of like the giraffe and like the little warthog. That's us. That's our Bert and Ernie dynamic of me and Andrew. And then viewer discretion advised, I did a podcast called Never Believe It, which is a Naruto D-Watch podcast where we watched only the filler of Naruto and tried to piece together the story from that. We ended that and then moved to a podcast called No Piece, which is a randomized One Piece rewatch podcast. Every week we roll a 1D1089 and we pick an episode. And I've seen up through episode 1000. The rest of these guys are interfacing with things brand new. And I believe we went Sanji v. Luffy and Whole Cake. We went to Wano, the very last episode, undubbed of Wano, and then all the way back to like Luffy versus Zoro in Alabasta. So it's chaos, but it's great. I love it so much.
There's so much podcast content you're putting out. All wonderful. Thank you again. Listeners, you know where you can find us over at KHP. A few things I will mention is that we still are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Kame House Party. Currently, whenever we can, it's usually still trying to keep to the Wednesday spot where we play a variety of games and have a variety of fun. Reach out to Vince whenever you can. Let him know you're thinking about him. Let him see how he's doing. He will always appreciate that. And I think that's it. I think we can mosey on out of here.
One-minute roundup.
Right. Yeah, send in your 1 minute roundups and the KHP research to KameHousePartyPod@gmail.com. So we're gonna end this like we always do. Whether you are yelling at your dad to kill you or getting a lunch order from a therapist, you gotta keep fighting.